some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around there. They're going crazy.
Jay, they got penalty here. There'll be fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
A really, really good job. You can't make it fun for that.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Who's that? Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the DM35 podcast. I guess this is Happy Easter because we're actually doing something pre-planned before. We are joined by David Artell, who has kindly given his time to answer questions and to have a chat with everybody. I'm joined by Mike, Bruce as well, and Sam, apparently, though he is back in Grimsby, so his internet is Grimsby-esque. So he is in and out at the moment. Is he back at is he back at anti-lunches? Is that what it is, Bruce? You seem to keep tabs on him closer than anybody.
I'm not sure. He seems to have more time off than anybody I know. I mean, they call it recess. It's like school, isn't it? It's like being at school. We're on recess, so the MPs have all gone to their lodges for the weekend.
They've not gone to their lodges. They're working. They tend to work harder in their constituencies than they do in when they're in Westminster. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the Conservative.
Okay, mate.
To talk about the Conservative Party.
All right, mute him again.
That was the message from the Conservative Party. Brilliant. Sam, I assume you're not having to worry about people building having fish and chip shops in the centre of town or whatever it is I saw this morning.
No, I don't work for the MP for Uxbridge and South Ruislip, thankfully.
Fine, Bo. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us. Apologies for that.
Not a problem.
Great to have you on. And you know, it's just so anybody who's listened to this in the future, we've got Barrow to be prepared for, and I'm speaking more of the fans and avoiding the Wetherspoons when they all got norovirus last time they went up, which was a lovely trip for them. Bruce, have you recovered yet from that? Are you going to be going back in there?
I've been back to work for a week, mate, since.
When did we play him last October?
I actually blame the Wellow in Cleethorpes, and put which I will apologise for now, and put a grumpy post on Facebook, and it wasn't their fault. It was just a delayed reaction from Barrow two nights earlier.
quite happily, probably the worst away end in football in the Football League as well, with its Cajun. It looks very similar to Italia 90. Mike, I will pass over to you because you've kindly done all of the hard work. And so I will let you start. I'm going to write some bits of apologies. I've only just dropped in from work. So that's why I look like a child coming back from school.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, David. First question I've got for you is, as we can see, because we can see you online, you're in a hotel there. I mean, in terms of joining Grimsby, how are you finding it in terms of the travelling, in terms of being at a different location, and how are you settling in?
Fine is the honest answer. So I think today is probably a good day to sort of what my day entails. Up at R5 in the car at 10 to 6, at work for 20 past 8. I've just literally got back to the hotel. I've forgot something at the training ground, so I've got Nick back there. Then I'm going to watch Cleethorpes Town tonight because one of our young lads is there. Probably get in at whatever, 10 o'clock, shower, bed. Up in the morning, we're training at the ground tomorrow, ready for Barrow. In at 8, 8:15. Train, get in my car, go and meet the bus somewhere up halfway up the M6, get to the hotel. And relax a little bit, if I'm being honest, because all the work's been done today and earlier on the week. 3 points at Barrow, back in the car, watch the game the following day. So there's a lot of travelling, there is, but the good thing about the travelling is it lets you sort of decompress, it lets you think. you're not actually in the, if there's a positive to it, which there is, you're not in the sort of hullabaloo that goes with the, with any football club. You know, I think it would be difficult for a manager to live in the town. I didn't live in Crewe when I managed Crewe. I was 45 minutes away, which helps. It does help. You know, you can speak to Harry Clifton if, you know, I know he finds it tough at times, for example. Obviously, on the other times, it's helpful. But, and that's as a player, as a manager, everything's amplified, you know, 50%, if you like, 100%. So there's lots of times to think. There's lots of times on the phone. There's lots of times where I'm making voice notes in my car. Living away from home is not an issue. My two daughters are 20 and 16, so one's doing a GCSE, the other one's at uni. And a bit like parliamentarians, they have more holidays than Judith Chalmers. So, you know, so I don't particularly see them that much. But they're old enough where my wife doesn't need me at home as much as what she would do if they were toddlers, for example. So, and the bottom line is, it's my job. You know, you have to go where the work is. And this is a fantastic football club with fantastic owners that are trying to do things the right way and slightly differently than what I would call, you know, the run-of-the-mill League Two ways that other clubs probably do it. And we've got to make sure that we get it right. It's as simple as that. So there's a great opportunity at this football club with a fantastic fan base to get things right. And that's why I'm here.
I guess the most important question is, what type of biscuit are you, to start you off with?
See, is this, has this come from something, some previous history, some research?
You spoke to the guys at Reading, didn't you, a year or so ago?
Yeah. It's one of the... I was talking to one of the staff earlier about management, and we were on about Forest Green, and particularly about how David Horseman and Troy Deeney, I'm sure they're good coaches, I'm sure they're good people, but they didn't get people. That's why they didn't get the best out of what they had, because they've got some good players. And asking a player what his favourite biscuit is just finding out what they like as a person. You know, as I'm sure the staff will attest already, even though I haven't been here that long, I'll eat any biscuit, and that's a problem. I think a chocolate hobnob is probably the best biscuit, but I wouldn't, you know, one of them big sort of cookie things that aren't too bad either. But listen, I'm a fairly straightforward guy, so like I said, and I'm not too fussy when it comes to biscuits. So that's what kind of biscuit I am. Yeah.
Just going back to the travelling thing, David. We've had some players here in the past. I mean, as fans historically, you've always wanted the players to live in town. I don't know why, and it's interesting what you say, that, you know, for them to be able to step away from it and get a break is beneficial, in your opinion. We've had players before that have travelled a long way. Is there a sort of maximum commute that when you're looking for players and that sort of thing, that you would say, do you know what, I think for all of our benefits, that's just too far? What are your thoughts on that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think for players it's different. 100% it's different. They've got a physical job to do. I've got much more of a mental job to do. An hour and a half, probably. You know, each way is probably about the maximum. The real benefit of the location of Grimsby is, once you get past sort of Doncaster, there's no rush hour traffic. So the last 45 minutes down the M180, it's very unlikely you're going to get stuck. So once you get past Sheffield or Leeds or whatever it might be, it's fairly home and hosed. Whereas if you go the other way towards Manchester, you could live 20 miles away and it could take you an hour and a half. So you can actually live, the actual radius, even though sort of the catchment area that way is the North Sea, then that's not good. The sort of catchment area of players, you know, to the west, actually extends a bit further than what you'd think because of the lack of traffic down the M180. which is a good thing. I think when I was a player, I think it was different in terms of location of players, because I think you'd get scrutiny in town, whereas you can live anywhere now and you're going to get scrutiny because of social media. And I think when you're in that sort of melting pot, however small and inconsequential a Grimsby player might be compared to a Man United player, it still affects them, without a shadow of a doubt, like hugely, some of them, because they're human beings. Not all of them, obviously, but some of them get really, really impacted by what's said about them. And you've got to be mindful of that as a manager. You've got to try and spot it and see it. And you've got to hope that they're honest with you and open about it, because it's not a bad thing that they get affected by fans speaking about them, good and bad. But you've, as a group of staff, we've got to understand that they might need support at certain times, or might need bringing down from the clouds at certain times, because fans are telling them they're the next best thing and they might not be yet. So you know, like I said, back in my day, I'm not 85, but you know, 20 years ago, you'd only get that if you actually lived in the area. Now you get that all the time, and to get all that all the time and live in the area can be really beneficial, and it can be harmful. It depends on the person, really. I don't want to read too much into it, but it's horses for courses for some players, really.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. That's interesting. And like you say, you wouldn't think of the social media thing, and unless you were embroiled in it, if you like. So no, that's great. Thank you.
And I guess on top of that, I mean, ad nauseum, let's be entirely honest, our fans talk about the town as a location, and you know, its pros and its cons. I speak to, you know, fans at Wimbledon going, well, you guys haven't got players looking for a £15,000, you know, £1,500 a month mortgage or rent to look for. Is it a problem in your experience? I mean, you've gone from Crewe, probably one of the most, you know, connected parts of the country, especially in the, you know, the north, to here. Do you think it's an issue?
No is the short answer. Because I think if people want to come here, they'll come here. You've got to ask yourselves, why do they want to come? Generally, it's one of two things: money or the playing style. There's other little subtleties like standard of living, how good the fans are, how big the crowds are. There's other little things that play factors. But ultimately, is, am I going to play, and am I going to play in a way that's suited to me? And how much money am I getting paid? So, you know, would you say Newcastle in the Premier League? Is it better to play for Newcastle or Chelsea on King's Road in London? Well, a lot of foreigners would go, I'd rather be in London, where I can watch a show every night. I've got the best restaurants. Newcastle's miles away. It's colder. You know, so that argument can be used right at the top of the game. Well, Newcastle attract players. They do. You know, that's because of how they're playing, what the level they are, and the money they pay to certain players. We're no different in that respect. We've got to sell the football club, sell the town for what it is. I come from Rotherham. Rotherham is very similar to Grimsby in the sense that...
Don't start him off, David. Mike's getting all glassy-eyed about Rotherham. Come on, Mike, you two can have a chat about how wonderful it is.
Yeah, I moved away 20 odd years ago. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Me too, mate.
Yeah. But what I'm gonna, Rotherham had coal and steel and it went. You know, Grimsby had fishing and it's gone by and large. And it's like, well, what's left? The people? Well, the people are good people. You know, it's got a football club that everyone's attached to. It's a constant in everyone's lives who want to be attached to it. But we've got to make sure that is something to be proud of. You know, that's what areas like Rotherham, like Grimsby demand, quite rightly. So we've got to make sure that the football club is part of that. So if people want to come and be part of that, great. If they don't, they'll find a reason not to be, irrespective of money or opportunity or whatever it might be. And, you know, that, listen, we could sell them on the football side about how we play, players I've developed previously, you know, getting promoted out of this league, or associated with myself. We can do that in terms of the owners and how good they are and how stable the football club is, the actual area and how good it is to live here, you know, how close the lads are, all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, they've got to want to play for this football club. So as much as you can say, oh, Crew, you might get more players who want to play for the football club because of where it is, ultimately, they've got to still want to play for the football club. And just because we are 45 minutes down the end of the motorway, we'll find out if they want to play for us. So I don't. I think it's a filtering thing. If they don't want to play for us, fine. Just let us know. It's not a problem. I spoke to one boy at Crew, did a presentation to him, 45 minutes. You're actually in Canada with the national team. And, you know, I said, any questions? He asked me two questions at the end of 45 minutes, telling him how we're going to play, how we see him play, I'm going to develop him, all the rest of it, where we were in his journey. He asked me two questions. What's the average attendance and how big is the players' lounge? If he'd have said, yeah, I'll sign tomorrow, I weren't signing him. Simple as that. If they're the two questions that he could come back to me with, he's not for me. Now, I didn't think that at the time, as in like before I started and all the preparation. But, you know, you find out about people and they've got to want to come and play for this football club. It's as simple as that. So I don't see geography as an issue, really.
I think that's a lovely thing to hear, really. When you joined, I mean, apart from the anecdote you gave us at the very beginning saying Ricky Ravenhill knocked out your front tooth when you scored your diving header, you said Grimsby was quite a nice place to come to. Have you done anything to change that? I mean, aside from, you know, turning down the heating in the away dressing room or something like that.
I think I've seen a couple of times how an old ground, which is what it is, an atmospheric old ground, can get going. You know, the best example is MK Dons. 60 minutes in, the fans were going, the lads need us here. You know, and all four sides of the ground, bar 25 MK Dons fans in the corner, were cheering us on. And you could feel the place. You could feel the players get a lift. There's a nuance to it. I call it a smell. When you stood in front of players, you can smell them. You can smell what they're feeling, whether it's fear or anxiety or excitedness or whatever it might be. And when that, you mean, when the ground got going against MK Dons, going, you know, the needers. The supporters understood that the players needed it because it was a tough game in the middle of a tough stretch. We'd been to London twice the previous 7 days and we had to go to Kent and Gillingham the following Saturday. You could see the players get a lift because of what the supporters were doing. Now, I appreciate that doesn't happen every week and it can't happen every week because we've got to, ultimately it's incumbent on us to give the fans something to cheer about. But I also know that if that happens and, you know, we are playing well regularly, which we have been doing away by and large, we've only lost once away since I've been at the football club in the league. That's in November. Now, people don't really talk about that, but that's been the foundation for indifferent home form. And then it's starting to be a little bit better. Not great. Not great. Now, once we get better at, there's lots of things. I don't particularly want to go into it because I don't want to, I don't want to sort of like say what I'm thinking, really, if truth be told. But once we get a bit better, there'll be more to cheer about. And I think Bundle Park will be a much harder place to come to because of geography, because of what we are, what this football club is. And that's where we've got to get to. It's sort of an unofficial goal to make it... Not the den of the north, because people associate the den with hooliganism. I don't mean that. The den's an intimidating place to go. I've played there. We were top of League One. Millwall were second. March time, towards the end of this time of year. Oof, get ready. You best get ready, because they're going to have you. You know, not in a horrible way, not in a, you know, illegal way. They create an atmosphere, and we as players, we as staff have got to get that, so that the fans every Saturday are going, right, and there's little things like this going, right, we need a new chant this week, or we need this or that, and there's all them little things coming together that makes it a proper tough place to come.
Bruce, you've been to enough games. Which ground is like that? Stoke Cup comes to mind for me. That's a bit of a needle. What about your experience? Bromley.
Well, I mean, the big cities used to be, you know, you used to go places like Birmingham and places like that, and when it was open, when it was terracing all the way around. I mean, they were Wolves was always one. When Wolves was busy, that was loud. You know, places like that. But I was just going to say, David, just on your last point, it feels like, and I think this is probably part of the reason and one of the reasons that you've come to the club, and you talked as we started about, you know, that what it can be. And I think you're right. I think Blundell Park, somebody put a stat, I don't know how correct it was, on Twitter the other day, that we've won something like 18 of our last 60 home games in the Football League. And I think that, I think the club's just crying out for a bit of success in the league. We got relegated from League One as it is now in 2003-04. And we've had one season in 2005-06 where Russell Slade nearly took us up. We were challenging, we lost out in the playoff final. But apart from that, we've had success in the conference and the national leagues, but that's not where you want success. And I think if you guys do get it right and can get it right, I agree completely with you that it feels like, I mean, you look, we're down at the bottom of League Two and we're sold out last Saturday, yeah. You know, and I think the atmosphere will follow. The fans are there. The new owners coming in brought an increase in numbers, and, you know, they tried to make the experience better for fans off the pitch as well as on it. And I think the fans are there. I think the place is just waiting, and I think it could snowball like it hasn't snowballed for a long, long time at this club.
I 100% agree with you in the sense that I realised early on. So when I say early on, I'm on about MK Dons away. I'm sat on the bus, and one of the staff went, "Oh, there's a full fixture list of the conference tonight." And I went, "All right, these are the Championship as well." That's all I said. I didn't think, they definitely didn't understand the subtlety of my response. And what I mean was, I don't give a monkeys about the conference. Whereas people were still thinking about the conference as a, let's call it a primary league. There was a full fixture list in the EFL that night. We'll talk about the Championship. Who's playing who in the Championship? Who's the big games in League One? Don't tell me about Bromley against Kings Lynn. I don't give two hoots. That's not where we're heading. So change your mindset. Change your mindset. Because if we're always looking backwards, we're never going to go forwards. And whereas the owners who come in 2.5 years ago changed the culture of the club in the previous, you know, well, 2.5 years, but certainly in the first 18 months, we, you know, part of my job is to make sure that the culture's changed in the football department, if you like, to look forward. And that's not to say that people aren't trying or can't do that or anything like that, but we've got to make sure that people don't see finishing 20th or 21st in League Two as success because we've just avoided the drop. That's not success. It's just not. That's just meh, isn't it? We've got to, that's not even, you know, if foundations are being built, fine. I understand that. But that can't happen forever. It just can't. And it certainly can't go backwards. And it's not a case of, well, it's too big or it's too good or the people are too, because it happens. It happens all the time. We've got to get things in place that take us from 20th to 12th to top. And the thing is, that's exactly what I did at Crewe. We went 20th to 15th to 12th to top. To the top half of League One. So it took a while, but the foundations were built that when we went up, We were going to stay up and we were going to do well. So the season we were in League One, we finished above MK Don, we finished above Plymouth, who both went in the playoffs the year after because they didn't sell off their team to the Championship. So it took a while to build them foundations in League Two, but it's actually better to build them there, knowing that when you go into League One, you're going to stay there and you're actually going to have the foundations to go again. If that's, you know, if you keep the players and you don't sell all your assets, etc. So we've got to make sure we continue to build foundations and don't see, you know, staying up this year as just, that's okay, because it's not okay. And the conference is definitely not okay, because that's all the National League. That's not where I look. It's as simple as that.
Hi, David. Following on from that about your kind of like you want to change the footballing culture. So you're kind of, you came from Crewe, and Crewe have a very defined way of playing over sort of 30 years, certainly as long as I can remember. Is it kind of therefore proved harder to kind of implement what you call Artel ball, whatever you want to call it, onto the football club, because there isn't kind of the basis of it here? Because it is fairly clear that you came in, changed the way we played. It improved in the first instance, then to kind of avoid relegation, we've had to kind of flip to a much more kind of pragmatic style. Do you have any ideas, the explanation for why that has happened? And also following on from that, where you plan to go in the summer, do you want to kind of revert back to a more expansive style?
I think your synopsis is spot on, absolutely bang on all of it. Did I think it was going to be have initial success? Yes. Did I think it was going to get harder when the players go, this is great, oh, and then we've still got to do this, and got better at playing like this? Did I anticipate that? Yes. Did I think that I would get more out of the players at that point? Yes, and I didn't. For lots of reasons, mainly, you know, because of me. It's not me blaming the players. Don't think, you know, although, you know, there's a capability aspect, obviously. So, you know, did I try and change too much too soon? I'm not sure it was too much too soon. I think I tried to give them too much information too soon, and I think I overloaded them. So then we stripped it all back, all back. You know, so the 5 games before this run that we've just, that's just finished, we should have had 9 points instead of 2. Now, if we'd have had 9 points instead of 2, that, again, that's not me saying this. This is just objective data. So don't think I'm trying to spin a yarn, because it's a long time ago now, and I'm not trying to, curry favour with journalists or anything like that. That's just objective data. You know, if we've got 9 points instead of the 2, it lasts a bit longer, as in, like, they're still having a go at it. Because of where we were and how it is, you know, I made the decision. I said, we can't carry on like this, because the players can't carry on like this. They're getting to a point now where they're going, hang on a minute. They didn't say any of this, but you can just feel it, you can smell it. So we went to a 3 at the bite. We become much more pragmatic, and they had a bit of success with it. You know, we should have beat Morecambe away in the last kick, and we didn't. But then we go 6 unbeaten because we are just a bit more pragmatic. Does that mean that, you know, we are getting better against the ball? We certainly are. Of course we are, because we're conceding less goals. In possession, are we? Not particularly. We were actually better in the previous 5 games against your Walsalls and your Doncasters, etc. We played better football, even though the results didn't come. So the results we had, MK Dons, they had most of the ball. Forest Green, they had most of the ball. We didn't have enough quality to beat Sutton, even though we should have. We didn't have enough quality to beat Morecambe, even though we should have, for example. So although we have massively improved in one area, we've regressed in another. It's just that we've got more points to show for it. So everyone's going, all right, okay, so we're now a better team. We're no better or worse than we were. We're a bit better than we were 10 games ago. And I've got to remain objective and sort of not emotionless, but, you know, just sort of like on an even keel to understand that this is how we progress. So we've you know, the disappointing thing about last Saturday against Wrexham is we, against the ball, which where we've been really good, we were just that much short, and Wrexham exposed us, you know, ruthlessly. And you have to say that their quality shone through. Second half, we were much better, but we didn't have enough quality to then break them down or have enough moments, whether that's individual moments or team building moments, if you like. So we've got to continue to do that bit whilst also being really resolute defensively. And that's the progression of the whole team. And that's where we've got to get to between now and the summer and going into next season. It's as simple as that, because that's how long these things take. I said it when I first come in, it's going to need time, a long time. And I appreciate a long time is probably about 5 weeks in football, but it's going to take a lot longer than 5 weeks. So that's the sort of evolution. And your, like I say, your synopsis of where we are to date is absolutely spot on. And that's got to continue, that sort of trajectory.
I think going back to your point at the start of the previous question about the conference, it's good that you can sort of take yourself to one side and get out of that, because I think, you know, you saw what we were all at Bundle Park when we were struggling, and I think some of the fans' sort of attitude was the result, and some of it I think is a genuine fear. Yep. That we were sliding towards the conference, and we know the conference as well as anybody in recent times. And I think, like you say, that the recent performances, all that anyone, you ask any fan, and all we're bothered about, all anybody you speak to, let's get to the summer. This season's been a bad season. It's not been what anybody expected, but let's get to the summer in the Football League, and then we go forward from there. And at the moment, in my head, and I'm sure the other lads and the staff and everybody else have come to that sort of, you see, that's where we need to be. But I think that, you know, the panic and things is predominantly because we've been there, done that, and we've had the T-shirt. And, you know, the first time we were down there 6 years, some clubs go down there and they never come back.
Mm. I understand it's a tough league. It's a tough league for the travelling, for the style, for, you know, everything. You know, I spoke to the lads, I can't remember who it was about, after it was. I said it in the press, in fact. I said, you know, listen, if you don't pull your fingers out, you'll be Milton, Conference North. You know, we'll be tasked, people at the football club will be tasked with making redundancies. Nobody wants that. So the grim reality of the National League and what it entails and ensues is, you know, so I'm not dismissive of the fact of what it means, and I understand the very recent history of this football club, what it means to the fans. But at the same time, we've not got to look that way. It doesn't mean we don't understand what it is, because we know exactly what it is. So I certainly know exactly what it is. But we've got to be. You know, if you're worried about the conference, you're not going to go out of League Two. It's as simple as that. And we've got to understand that that's... When I mention culture of the football department, I don't think it's bad. It's just that the very recent past weighs heavy. And I don't mean that in a necessarily negative way, because it's also a positive thing. People can get promoted. People know what it takes to win. It's important you know how to be a winner. But at the same time, there's a trade-off in the sense that, yes, that was also in the division lower, and now we're in this division and we've got to talk about getting into League One, because that's the next step. And, you know, we're getting there, that's for sure. We're getting there.
And who wants to play in National League North? God, I think how low you'd have to sink there, Bruce.
There's lots of big clubs in National League North. None around
yes,
here
anymore.
Yeah, not yeah.
Thank you very much.
Around here. I'm in exile like Alex and Sam, so we don't get to as many games as we'd like. But I was lucky enough to get to the games in South London and in Kent recently, and I must say, as somebody that's not seen a lot of football live for us, I was really impressed with the change that had been made and the commitment from the players. And I think as a fan base, going back to what Alex and Bruce were saying earlier, is we're just dying out for that team to get behind. And it was encouraging for me to see that change and see that commitment and see that doggedness and rolling the sleeves up off the back of quite a what must be confidence draining run of results. So well done for that. But in terms of how you want to progress, what would you say is your sort of philosophy or key principles in how you want to set a football team up long term? I understand it can't happen overnight, but where do you want to sort of get to and how do you get there?
Okay, so I think the first thing to say is that the art of coaching is getting the best out of what you've got. Did I make a mistake trying to change too much too soon? Probably. I think that's a fair thing to say. You know, there's mitigating circumstances in terms of this is the first time I've gone into a new club. You know, so I think there's that. In terms of long term, we've got to be much better in possession than what we currently are. We saw that in the other games. So even though we lost 6-1 to Walsall, we were a better team for 40 minutes. How we went lost that first half, it was ridiculous. So we know we can do it, but then that's not a trade-off for the stuff against the ball. Same with Doncaster. After the first 5 minutes, we should have been 4-1 up, 4-2 up, but we weren't. That's the bottom line. So we know we've got that in us. We know that what we coach the players hit home because they were doing it. But we also know that they were suffering, if you want, for a better term. It's probably not the right word, but it's good enough. That the results weren't quite there. So we had to become a bit more pragmatic so we could get results. Do I want to play like we are playing in a minute in the long term? No, because I don't think, in fact, I know that's not what long-term success will look like. That won't get us to where we need to be over an extended period of time. And again, there's a lot of data that backs that up. So I don't need to think that I talk about data all the time to bamboozle people or negatively or positively influence people, but there's a lot of data on football, obviously. And there's a lot of it points towards the more possession you have, the greater your chance of success. So there's a stat that I think says that if you have over 600 completed passes, you win something like 80% of the games. Now, obviously, you don't win them all. MK Dons being a great example because they had more than 600 passes. If the player is next week and the week after, they're probably going to win 8 out of 10 because of the way they play. But because of our resolute and doggedness and our discipline and our shape out of possession, which was unbelievably brilliant, the players were magnificent. We get a result. Now, do I expect us to be MK Dons next year? No, I don't, because we're not going to get to that level in terms of possession. And I don't want us to lose 1-0 when we've dominated the ball. But you can see that we've got to have much more of that in our game whilst also being absolutely resolute in our defending and absolutely brilliant in the off-the-ball stuff. Now, because the previous manager focused a lot on that, there's a lot of stuff that's already just needs a little bit of tweaking, a little bit of tinkering, and they've already had a bit of success at that. The cup run last year, for example, you know, and some of them promotion, you know, Luke Wardfall before he left Gavin, for example. So they've seen a bit of that, you know, what that can produce. So we've got to make sure that that stays, irrespective of turnover of players or anything like that, whilst also bringing in much more of the, let's call it the Walsall first half, the Doncaster first half stuff. So we've got that nice blend. How consistent that's going to be next season, the truth is, I don't know. I'm hoping it's going to be really consistent, you know, that we're really good in possession and we're really dogmatic and hard to beat out of possession. You know, whether that's we need another 12 months to get all that and then reshape again and then go, possibly. And I'm only saying that because that's how long it took me at Crewe. So that's the only yardstick I've got, but I'm hoping that's not the case.
No, thanks for that. I mean, yeah, no, it's brilliant. I mean, another question I've got is in terms of transfers. I think as football fans, we talk about two topics. We talk about on the field and we talk about transfers. And we spend a lot of time sort of criticising or talking about what's going on, and not a lot of football fans really know what's involved in a transfer market and what the process is. So from my point of view, it might be a bit of a niche obsession I have, but could you give us a little bit of an insight into how the entire process works? I mean, in talking about you've got Joe Hutchison there, how does he perform? And I presume you'll always have a list, but how does that sort of happen during a window? Because people, I assume, just think you click your fingers, sign a player in, they come. And I assume it's not like that.
No, so obviously the window in January is much different than the one in the summer. The one in January is mainly a loan window now. That's simply because of supply and demand and normal economic sort of principles, if you like. There's not many transfers happen unless money transfers hands, a bit like Tammy Alcantara, who left us for a significant number, which was good business for everyone. Good for him, he goes up a league. Good for us, we get a fairly sizable fee. And we've got a, you know, thing that if it goes higher, we get even more. So the January transfer window is much different than the summer transfer window. So and you tend to look at different players. Obviously, I came in right at the end of November and I said to Joe straight away, I said, look, let me concentrate on our players, see who's who and what's what. We'll discuss where I think we need to improve. I think it was quite obvious we probably needed to improve in fullback areas because we kept conceding from crosses. And I think we have. And obviously, we needed to play as Cam. They were the main, and we had a plan in place quite early on because we thought that may or may not happen. We knew it happened in the summer. We were unsure whether it happened in January, but it did. So the contingency planning with that was fine. Joe gets lists together from, and there's various sort of sources of lists, if you like, from people he knows and the grapevine, people at other clubs, data, our own, you know, scouting and recruitment. And then we've got to work through them. So there is likelihood of coming, style and fit. What are we after? So all them things go into the conundrum, if you like. It's certainly not an exact science. It's more an art form, recruitment, irrespective of whether it's January or the summer. And it's very similar. Agents obviously play a huge part. You've got to persuade the agent as well as the player, without a shadow of a doubt, what you can do for their player so that they think that there's a residual value in their player coming to us. And then you've got to do lots of checks and lots of referencing. We will be doing much more. That will be much more thorough. Let me tell you, it's good already. There's no bad egg at this football club, which there is at other football clubs. There just is. We don't have lads booting balls into the crowd, for example. That's just an absolute idiot, you know. That process is already good, but it can be better, and we will make that better. But ultimately, we want better players. That's what a transfer window is. So we've got to make sure we recruit better players all the time. And, you know, we will endeavour to do that, you know, every window. I think we have improved. You know, Luke Waterfall was a brilliant servant to this football club, a fantastic servant to this football club. Personally, I thought his time was done, and we've helped him secure an extra year in football at Hartlepool, whilst also improving the team with Doug. I think that's good business all around. So, you know, that's, you know, good for Luke, good for this football club, good for Hartlepool, you know, good for Doug. So everyone wins, and we've got to make sure that that happens with every decision we make, so we improve.
I think it's quite obvious that every player that's come in this window has given a massive improvement to the team. I can't think of one that hasn't contributed. In terms of sort of Joe Hutchison and things, I think people quite, in my opinion, probably falsely assume that you get players signed for you and off you go. Obviously, I would assume you're the person that sort of gets the the final say in that?
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't sign for a football club if I didn't.
What was
I thought as much. I just wanted to sort of ask that question.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
I guess when you first joined, you know, out of football for a little while, had a, you know, I would imagine a choice of a fair few jobs coming in, and you said that this, you know, this project excited you, this club excited. What was it that you, attracted you to here rather than places elsewhere?
The feel. I got asked quite a few times, why have you turned this down and why have you turned that down? It was the feel. No reason other than this felt right. It just felt right. You know, it's 2.5 hours from home. That's not an issue. It felt right. The people felt right. The owners felt right. The fans, what I knew of the fans, I said they're my kind of people. They're the people that I grew up with. You know, all my mates now are literally on the screen right now that I'm looking at. That's what they are, you know. It's just that they support Rotherham and not Grimsby. That's, you know, that. So I go, right, if the owners are good, the people are good, the town is a town I am familiar with, why would it not? I think it's at a low ebb on the football pitch. Could it get lower? Of course it can. Recent history suggests it's got lower. But I didn't think for one minute that it would go any lower, and I still don't think it'd go any lower. And we've got to make sure that that upward trajectory, you know, starts or continues from the National League.
And the fish and chips.
Yes, and the fish and chips. But is that, I'll be brutally honest with you. That never once came into the thinking. But it was something that it was an oversight on my part.
I can imagine it now. I'll be 20 minutes late. The traffic's horrendous as you sat on the promenade with, you know, fish and chips on lap.
I'll send you a photo, Alex. I'll send you a photo in half an hour when we've gone to Steele's.
Oh, don't do that. That's just the problem as being in exile. Our Facebooks is just full of people who have gone back for a week and it's just eating really nice fish and chips.
I'm going back next week. I'm going back this week and I'm looking forward to not spending £15 on cod and chips. Cod, 15 quid.
Yeah.
Don't entertain it down south, mate. It's shy. I'm going to Cleethorpes tomorrow for a day out for some fish and chips. It's great.
Good.
I feel a plan coming on here. It is Thursday, but it's really Friday tomorrow, isn't it?
What, this after, is going to end up with after, Bruce after in the bush, isn't it?
What, after our last performance on a pod night out?
Yeah, true. Okay, we'll leave that one there. We don't need to bore David with our drunken
escapades. David, I did have another question, David. Obviously, you came in and you've got Sean and Ben there as the coaching staff, and I know you've been asked about this before, but is there any scope or any plans to bring in any additional support in the coaching staff, somebody you've worked with before or somebody you've not?
Not at the minute. Not at the minute. I wouldn't rule it out. But I also think that, you know, somebody gave me a chance. Why would I not? I truly believe that young players surprise you. Usually in good ways, not consistently over time, because they need time to build into that. Why do young coaches not do the same? The good people. I played with Ben for 2 years, I think it was, or a year and a half or something. He's fantastic, bloke, you know. So, and the good people. All of them are good people, you know. So, you know, why would I not give people a chance? Does it help that I didn't know them? Not particularly. But I also thought that we could, whilst I'm getting to, you know, it was them, like I've said, the first 6 weeks was ridiculously tough. And to get to know 25 players, 10 staff, we had the busy festive period. We've got January transfer window coming up, and we've got a first team player who's got thyroid cancer and a 17-year-old and his dad who dies. that's not easy. It's not easy. No manager that I know of had all that to contend with going into a football club on his own, because everyone tells you don't do it. It's probably wise to take someone with you, but at the same time, I go, well, if that's what we've got to do, that's what we've got to do, and and I'm prepared to give people a chance, and that's still the case. If it helps bringing someone in, not to the detriment of anyone else, but if it helps to bring someone in, that's what we'll do. Because it's got to be right for the football club, though. Not right for David Artell. It's got to be right for the football club.
Do you want to have a look at your orthodontist's best work? Bruce has kindly sent it over to us. Is this your... How many goals did you score in your professional career, David?
You're asking a... You know,
you've lost count.
40? Yeah. 40? I don't know.
First goal.
You haven't got all 40.
Of the season.
No. Bruce might do, actually.
Yeah. Ricky Raven will keep me 2,000.
Actually, heading it home for his first goal.
Oh, he did as well, didn't he?
Season.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's Chester and us. Oh.
And I think the other clip I sent you, I think that was a welcome to Grimsby in the snow.
I do have it. I just, if I put up multiple, it likes to have a wee little dance about itself.
Two men looking for the same ball there. Unfortunately, Artell barged off it. Yeah, well, he was. There's no argument, really.
Good skill, that was.
He takes a lot of barging off it. I can tell you that does, Dave Artell. There's a bit of him, the old lad.
There's a bit of him, the old lad.
Yeah. Yeah. There's even more now.
You'll have to chat about John about that.
He's got no more subtle, has he?
No. John Tondor?
No, John Moore. He's the club commentator for the highlights packages. You'll never see him because he's up in the rafters the other side of the pitch from you. he should win a medal just for walking across the roof of the Findus and then back down again.
Yeah,
it's dicey
up there, isn't it?
I don't know if you've ever looked yet, but if you go up to the top, when you look down, there's no sort of matting or anything. You can just look straight through the grating down into the down onto the stands below.
It's a little bit of Fred Dibnar, isn't it? It's like sort of it's not climbing up a chimney without any safety harnesses or anything. It's a bit like that when you go in the gantry.
It doesn't get windy anyway.
No, that's true. I guess in the main stand you'll never feel it. Is that how it is, isn't it, Sam?
The corner flags at the Osmond end couldn't stand up on Saturday. He was blowing that it was blowing that strong towards the Osmond.
The steward was really helpful for one corner.
Yeah, he moved it out of the way, didn't he? Yeah, he held it out of the way, waiting for
to put a putt in.
I thought he was going to set the corner himself with where he's going.
On another point, why do we complain about the wind? We should be, well, given we play by the sea, we should be brilliant at playing in the wind.
I'm just going to turn the light on, otherwise you won't.
Go ahead. Do you think we should have got used to it by now, really, Sam, shouldn't we? It's not really something we can complain about.
No, it should be an advantage for us because we get to play by the sea.
We didn't really design the stadium very well by putting the big old stand at the other end just to bring it back again.
Who put Grimsby next to the sea? Who had that stupid idea? I know.
Poor decision making that was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Just changing the subject completely. What's the hotel food like? Is it all right? Are you safe eating there?
I don't. I've only ever had breakfast here. So I have lunch at the training ground, and I tend to bring a bit of lunch with me. But I have a big enough lunch that I don't particularly eat much when I get here. So.
You're not on the steak and chips tonight, then?
No. I have, I have too many hobnobs during the day. That's what it is.
Don't be saying that. People will be bringing them in their droves. That's what it
sounds like. Our office.
Well, I'll let you in to a little sort of thing. Every Friday, we have a game of what's called line ball with the staff. So we all have a ball each, and whoever's lost the week before, makes the rules. So the rules can be anything from the top five score, if you go over the line, you're -3, etc. And you have to roll the ball from the goal line to the 6-yard line. So obviously, if you get it on the line, it's harder than you think. So if you get on the line, you might get 5 points, closest to the line. Next closest is 4, 3, 2, 1 or something. But if you go over the line, you're minus three. Then you go from 6 yard line to 18 yard line, 18 yard line to halfway line to other 18, etc. So you end up with a score, and obviously the loser has to bring in biscuits. So our office is, it's, you know, it's 10 minutes of fun on a Friday for the staff. That is probably the 10 minutes that none of the staff members look forward to, even though they really do, because they just don't want to lose. And if you just don't want to lose, because you get ribbed for about an hour.
Who's the staff member that brings in the nice ones? Who's the one that brings in the, you know, the Victoria box, and who's the one that brings in Tesco own brand bourbons?
Well, Greggy Howard baked, him and his lovely fiance baked, lovely, like, sort of cookies and all sorts of millionaire shortbread that went down a treat. Whereas I have to say, I don't really want to dig him out, but there was a lad in, one of the lads that lost last week, and he brought in some Safeway biscuits that didn't snap, just bent.
Safeway shut about 20 years ago, didn't it? Well, the expiry date.
We call them Safeway biscuits, but they were the equivalent of, you know, and they probably were from 20 years ago. And
was that Dave Moore?
No, it wasn't Dave Moore.
They're probably more dangerous than Ricky Ravenhill's boot.
Yes. I think, you know, they've been more dangerous than a trip to Barrow's pub. You know, we could have got E. coli and coronavirus and norovirus all rolled into one, yeah.
We need to have a show of hands at Barrow away. You can take attendance, David, of who actually went there. Who's brave enough to return? Are you going to be asking for a free meal, Bruce?
Some of our lot, God, they don't know anything other than Wetherspoons, so God knows. But yeah, it's a funny old place though, Barrow, isn't it? You think you're nearly there, and you drive through the most beautiful part of the bottom of the Lake District, and then you swing into Barrow, and it's like us, it's an industrial town, but you just go through the, it's like Scunthorpe being beautiful, and then you get to the other end, but it's just like the back of beyond, and then you start going down in the wrong direction, but you're not going towards home. Yeah, it's not a place that I enjoy going to particularly.
Well, it'll be quicker with 3 points.
Yeah.
Be quicker coming back.
I'm reserving judgment until we've been, but yeah, I sort of agree with Bruce. I was there a couple of weeks ago. My daughter played netball in Lindall, which is next door to Barrow. And yeah, it weren't the Lake District that is on the postcards, put it that way.
No.
They try. That's why they have their training ground in Manchester, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's for recruitment purposes more than anything else. Oh. But then I also think that's not culturally right. I think that's, I understand why they do it, but I'm not sure that's, I don't see an issue with, say, us having a training ground that's, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes down the road somewhere. Because that's close enough that people can come, sponsors can come, you know, there's a whole raft of upsides to that, but not an hour and a half away. I think that's, but then, listen, that's each to their own.
Going back to your former point about, you know, the sort of the area and the travelling and stuff, Carlisle's not exactly in the middle of, you know, suburbia, is it? And they got promoted out of this division.
Exactly.
So, you know, they don't, without moving the training ground, so they attracted enough players of the right quality and calibre to get themselves out of the division.
One of the best run clubs in the whole country is Plymouth.
Yeah.
It's an hour, their local derby is an hour and a half away. You know, Bristol's an hour and a half away. It's...
Always strikes me as giving up. You're trying to create an ethos around a town and a community and a spirit, and then you say, right, yeah, but the most important thing, because that's where the players spend most of the time, we're not having that anywhere near us. It just seems a bit of a give up to me.
I'm not allowed to tell any stories tonight, Alex, about Plymouth, am I? I'm not allowed to tell it's not that sort of night, is it? No, stories.
I mean,
no, when we went to Plymouth, it was called off. Yeah, when it was the longest, the furthest I've ever travelled to an away game, and it got called off because a bit of the stand roof blew off.
Oh, right, yeah,
remember it.
You had a nice day.
I saw the ground, but I haven't ticked it off. Yeah, I've had a great day. I was that pissed.
Town didn't lose?
I was that pissed because we drunk during the day and we didn't have a break for the game to stop drinking that I was in bed for match of the day.
This is the problem I have with some of our away fans with longer journeys, that they actually get to that point where they're so drunk that they've got to the match and they're now a little bit sleepy. So all they want to do is just sit in a corner.
Is that Bruce at Oxford?
Yeah, it helped at Gillingham. We had a load of drunk Belgians turn up from Oust, which kept the atmosphere going.
Yeah,
which was quite.
I saw. I was in the ticket office the other day, and I was chatting to Lisa, and I said, I'm not going to get. I can't remember where I was going. I think we're going to Wimbledon the other day to meet you lads that went. And I said, I'm not going to. I think we're on the 7:30 train. We got into London at 11:30 for a 7:45 kickoff. I said, I'm not going to get as drunk as I did at Oxford though. And Lisa went, yeah, you were bad that day. I went, at least I didn't fall asleep. She said, you did for about half an hour. I was like, oh, I don't even remember.
You were the one who kept ordering the shots, Bruce. I've got no sympathy for you.
That was an entertaining one. Mike, anything you want to end us on so we can, you know, Dave can get back to apparently planning the beauties of Brat Barrow and, you know, places.
I'm off to watch Cleethorpes. That's right.
Oh, yeah, of course you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one. Well, brilliant. I mean, thank you so much for your time. It is really appreciated. And it's been really interesting to see how the change in the team has been. And, you know, I don't think anyone's as terrified as they were. So it's nice and everyone feels a bit more confident. I think that's a bit of a downbeat way of saying it, but everyone is, you know, the resolute and the passion and the ethos is, you know, is changed beyond words. And I can only thank you for that. Anything else anybody wants to add before I let David go and watch Cleethorpes and
get in the Linden Club? We're ready to go as a club, aren't we? All of us together.
Yeah, maybe.
So all the best for the rest of the season and beyond.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thank you, guys. Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got penalty here. They've been fish flying about that. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
A really, really good job. You can't mention strength like that.
Love it.